and statistically, Hull KR will provide us no competition next week because they're shipping in 23 points a game, the worst defence of the top six. All we have to do is turn up.
The salary cap spends out there tonight would be markedly different. Like, the money that's invested by the Warrington Wolves, in particular players, would dwarf what Hull Kingston Rovers are able to spend and attract players with.
Am I excited about the season? No, I'm not. Why would I be excited? The last 2 years, we've limped out of the playoffs. And I can guarantee, lads, I can guarantee at the end of this year on the podcast, we'll do exactly the same again.
...2021, a year that ended with not much fun. For Wyatt were way below par and made to pay by Hull KR. Yes, we missed Mike, our number 10, but to be beaten in the first round again. Why does this keep happening to us? Oh, to be like Saints and get through things with the minimum of fuss. But oh no, that's not the Steve Price way. Under that man, we just throw it all away. A year's work has gone into finishing third, and when it matters, we perform like a turd. Two NRL standard players at 7 and 6, yet we score no points and look like a set of dicks. Toby has gone backwards since his contract renew, and finally, the hilariously overhyped Mamo is gone. Phew. An average player elevated way too high. His defensive reads and knock-ons make me want to cry. Our boy Stefan had a howler once more. His fear of big games came to the fore. Chris Hill rolled back the years of plenty and performed as if it was 2020. Where to start with our captain Skip? Needs to be put on the rubbish tip. One of the only good ones tonight was our number two. And personally, I'd have kept Lynham. Don't know about you. Blake doesn't even make the team now. It's a far cry from the days of Austin. Wow. Another masterful display from Jason Clark. An Akawala's fitness drop-off is stark. Ashton couldn't catch a cold. Mind you, most of the Wire players did just fold. Once again, Wire have failed when it matters, and now our dreams are left in tatters. There can be no complaints though, we were second best from the word go. Too many errors, too many mistakes. It was Hull KR for fuck's sake. Price's time in charge has been average at best. Any more fraud and there'd be a warrant for his arrest. What can Powell do in 2022? He needs a prop maybe too. Carl needs to raise expectations and maybe then we'll have some celebrations. With Williams, Widdop, Clark and Curry, we've got players that cause teams a flurry. I just hope our next coach is an upgrade because the last 4 years have been depraved. Goodbye Steve, you've been a disaster. There really was no happy ever after.
Hello, I'm Rob London. Welcome back. I was going to say I hope you were looking forward to Wire's semi, but it finished limper than my granddad's dick. So talking of which, where are my two little blue pill-taking podcasters? Firstly, forget the pills because this chap has an electronic tablet that's brimming with a factual load he's no doubt ready to shoot all over his final spreadsheet. Yes, it's Sam Statistical Sankey!
Yes, hello, good morning.
And also, I know it's a pill hard to swallow, but he's back. Yes, unexpectedly, failing to grip his tackle bags by the base to firm up his resilience, it's Dennis, Hardnose Waywell.
Hey, great to be back. Hey, it's going to be an up episode, isn't it?
Actually, I'm in a good mood. I dusted off the board this morning and went for a surf. I've had a lovely vegan bok choy dinner. So, all pretty good. Sam, you had a piece of steak last night. Gee, it was bigger than Tom Lynham's leg.
Yes, I needed something to cheer me up. So we went for good old-fashioned steak, chips and a red wine last night.
Lovely. Lovely. Where's the fire brigade called a little bit later? You sent me a picture of a fire that seemed to be out of control in Thirlwall.
Yeah, well, maybe a little bit too much red wine shouldn't be mixed with children playing with matches, should it?
Are they trying to burn Greg Inglis out of Thirlwall now because he's unemployed?
Yeah, well, I did need a wicker man and I did think about going round and asking him to sit on top of a bonfire, but...
No comeback on that one, Rob.
I've got nothing at all. I'm just having a drink in my kombucha, to be honest. How are you, Dennis? You went to the pub on Friday night.
Outside drinking and watching the match as much as I possibly could anyway, whatever there was of it.
You two were very quiet during the match, actually. I sent a few WhatsApp messages and wasn't getting much back, really. Mm. I thought, they're both busy. Yeah. They're both out and about enjoying themselves. Well, it's only me, the dedicated fan, watching this. Jesus.
No.
Now, we are excited tonight because, of course, about 20 minutes ago, prior to this recording, everyone, Sam sent a message through to say he's going to do a three-minute speech.
Mm, yes. Yes. Churchillian.
Exactly what Mrs. London did when I read it out to her. That's exactly what she did, Sam. She burst into laughter. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
If she listens to it, she'll be crying at the end.
Oh dear. Right, should we get on with this, boys? Should we finally put ourselves out of our misery and get on
yes.
with this? This is going to be the last podcast of the year, apart from the Christmas special. I forgot to mention that to you, lads, so there will be another one coming up. Put it out. Boxing Day.
Not that fucking old rigmarole again. Fucking Christmas dinner and then having to dial on and speak to you going, hey, good to be back.
Oh dear. Right, the match review. The Wire team was Rashford, Thulis, King came back in, Mamo, Lynham came back in, Williams and Widdop, Hill, Clark, Akawala, Curry Hughes, and there was good old Joe Philbin at number 13. Interchange bench was Joshen Clark, Ashton, Mulhern, and the terrific young energetic Longstaff. The final score was Wire Zip, 0-0 Zilch, Hull Kingston Rovers, Hull KR, 19. Tries for Warrington, well, there was fuck all. Goals for Warrington, there was fuck all too. Before we review, here's the sodding highlights.
Are you aching for the grey? But that's okay.
Ball is fired out and Jordan Abdul gets over in the corner. Has he got that one down? The referee says yes.
We're getting away with it all, mister. Getting away with it all, mister.
Below us, Takarangi though plays the ball. Mikey Lewis, little chip kick over the top. He's taking on Rashford. He's beating Rashford. He's scoring the try in front of those delirious Robins supporters. And that's what Mikey Lewis can do. He caught Warrington cold there. And he shot past Stephen Ratcliffe, left him trailing in his wake. Looping pass to Jordan Abdul. Abdul gets the pass away to Daggett. Daggett to Kynehorst! And Kynehorst goes in for another Hulke Aar try.
Getting away with it all, mister. Getting away with it all, mister.
The Red Army made it all the way over the M62.
And the ball is back with Abdul. Abdul will go with the boot for one, will get it. And surely now, Hulkingston Rovers are beyond reach. They are through to the semi-finals. Steve Price, end of the road for him. End of the road as far as the season goes for Warrington.
End of the road for Andrew Henderson, Lee Breers. Lee Breers, in my time, specifically in Super League, I think Lee Breers has been the best servant for the Warrington Wolves, but it's the day of the Robins. They deserve this. Outstanding performance, 1-17, plus those travelling reserves, and of course, under the tutelage of Tony Smith and his coaching staff.
Well, who wants to start? Now, I set my alarm, unfortunately, for the wrong... Well, actually, fortunately for the right time, Sam, and I missed the first sort of 12 minutes. I thought it was a 4:45 in the morning kickoff in Sydney, but it turned out it was 4:30 kickoff. So I kind of joined just as Hulke Aar scored that first try. Steve Price wasn't happy with the first 10 minutes. Sky seemed to think we played our best footy in that first 10 minutes. What did you make of it, mate?
Both of them are right. We did play our best football. We did play our best rugby. We were on the front foot. We were dominating them. But I think what Price was alluding to is, as will be a theme through the whole match, there was a lack of calmness when it came down to the final ball and the execution. So we had lots of field position and we blew several opportunities, either through drop ball or bad execution. And then on 14 minutes, the first time we were asked to defend and we couldn't.
Dennis, Sam mentioned execution there. At this stage, did you want to execute Steve Price?
Not this early on. We did say that we wanted to see see him leave earlier on in the season. So we'll get to that later. But no, I think it would just look like 10 minutes of nerves is what I thought. It had that real feel about it for some reason. I don't know why. But just nothing happened, really.
Were you there, Sam? Did you actually go? Or were you around at the brother-in-law's?
At the brother-in-law's. Told you. Oh, I accepted the invitation, brought up correctly. So don't turn... Although... It might have been on in the background.
Fair enough. Well, I mean, that's far more interesting than the rugby league. So what did you have for your dinner? What did he put on? Nice spread? What did he do?
Yeah, we started with some patron peppers and some salmon. That was a little...
Starter?
Amuse-bouche, really, rather than a formal starter. And then we went on to have a chicken dish with some rice and some nice Gavi wine, and it was very pleasant, actually. Far more pleasant than anyone sat at the HJ watching that shite.
Yeah. How many plugs did he put in there then? What's a pardon? What was it? A pardon?
Oh, he's definitely got something going on, hasn't he? With the local deli.
Yeah, definitely.
Something going on. 17th minute, try and conversion for 80s pop star Paula Abdul as Hulke Aar sing into the lead they would never lose to go 6 nil up. Now, I sort of looked at this and thought, oh, our little fan Marmomite's a bit out of position. But Mr. Senior London, who turned 105 this week, told me that he thought Jack Hughes has been at fault a lot of the year over on that side. He was blaming Hughes more. Even though Hughes wasn't involved, he sort of thinks he's not communicating. So I'm not too sure what to make of it. But it was pretty easy, Dennis. It was a walking try.
Pretty much. I mean, Jack Hughes has been in them situations before, and I know someone's probably going to say, "Oh, he had a good game that night or whatever." But it's a defensive. No, Sam's definitely. He's frowning. Look at him.
No, I think that's just the indigestion from that big steak.
Yeah. But I couldn't even bring myself to watch all this again. It was just so disappointing. I mean, what are you going to pull out of this? I mean, the whole game, really, it just reflected exactly what we've been saying all year, is that, you know, the inconsistency. There's never been there a feeling of, like, you know, we're a resilient side. That's his catchphrase. That's what he turned up with, and that's what we ended up with. Was it resilience? Was it fuck?
Well, that's it until half-time, boys. That was the score at half-time. It was 6-0 to Wire. I sent a little cheeky text saying I'm sure Steve Price's half-time team talk will be worth 12 points. Mm. At one point, I didn't think he was going out to the dressing room. He was doing his sort of holding back routine that we've seen before. But nothing changed, Sam. I mean, talk about vanilla. I mean, I've seen some. I was falling asleep watching this. We just didn't seem to have anything at all.
Last week I said we only had to turn up, and we didn't turn up, did we? We didn't. It was as if they were going through the motions, everyone waiting for somebody else to take the responsibility. And just after half time, Ratchford makes a fuck up of a play the ball and demands a penalty that the referee didn't give. It could have been 50-50. But from there, we conceded a second try. And any sense that we were going to raise the roof with a second half dominant display just seemed to go out the window.
Hmm. Did you say last week, Sam, about us not turning up? I don't remember anything about it. Don't put yourself down, Sam. There's going to be nothing like that in this podcast this week. You leave that out of it.
I'd just like to clarify for all the listeners that Sam's actually in hiding now. After his comments last week, and he's probably going to be in hiding for the next 6 weeks until everything blows over, and then he can start venturing out again. How is it, the bunker, Sam? Well, how's the bunker?
Bunker is well stocked. Excellent. I don't need to. I've got 422 cans of beans. It was easy for me to stock up because everyone else is panic buying, so it didn't look like I was doing anything unusual.
Okay. Mm.
We have had a bit of hate mail this week, Sam. You've been very popular on the social media and email. A lot of people are blaming you for that prediction, Sam.
Excellent.
Put the curse on.
Sam Sankey curse.
48th minute, Hull KR's Mike Lewis spots there's no one at home at the back for Wire. He cleverly chips over the top and has the acceleration to outpace Ratchford to the ball and score. Abdul slots over the two, and it's Hull KR 12, Wire 0. Clever little bit of play. I missed this. I went to the bath. I had a big shit at about, what time would my shit be? Would have been about 5:20. And I thought I'd just get straight in the bath.
What prompted that, Rob? Was there a particular player or option or something that prompted that shit? Was it easily moved along with anything?
No. If I'm honest, I had 500 grams of peanuts the night before. And I think that's what caused it. So, yeah, I hadn't even had a coffee. 5:20, it was just, boom, out it came. And I moved into the bath, woke up the whole family. They were very annoyed. And then kind of lost track of the game and all of a sudden looked at my screen and thought, these adverts are going on for a while. The adverts went on for 25 minutes. Australian TV decided it was obviously that shite. They weren't going to come back. So they didn't come back until the 56th minute. But I wasn't at all bothered. You know, normally I'd be sort of on the edge of my seat going, what's going on? But
so this half-time talk, I mean, just to go back to the half-time talk a bit. I mean, we did say again earlier on, and I don't mind saying it. I don't really want to take any comfort out of it. But, you know, we did say that when the announcer, Price, was leaving, What would he be able to do in his half-time talks to motivate them players? And you would obviously imagine, well, you know, you're doing it for him, maybe. Yeah, a bit of dead air there. And, you know, but what have you got? I mean, and yeah, I just thought, there's nothing going to change here. And quite clearly, as we got into the second half, nothing changed.
Tell you what did change. I had to top up the bath about 20 minutes and it was getting a bit cold. But apart from that, it was fine. 57th minute, Abdul adds a goal, a penalty goal to make it 14-0. And then on the 68th minute, Hull KR, close to the wire line, put the ball along the line, drawing each Warrington defender to leave an overlap in the corner for Jimmy Kinehorse to stroll in. Conversion is missed, but it's 18-0. That really was the killer blow, wasn't it? So that was when I went, oh, pathetic. Like, they just sort of went in and it was just like, could this get any worse? It was just that feeling of deflation.
Yeah, funny enough, I thought it was a penalty goal that just finished me off because I thought, we don't look like scoring one try. But if we get one, we might get two. But we're never going to score three. And so to go to 14, I thought, that's it, game gone. And a little bit like you're saying, losing interest, there was just that inevitability. It was like I was watching the same match as last year and the year before.
Yeah.
73rd minute, Abdul drops a drop goal to drop kick Wires 2021 season to a shambolic end. As you say, Sam, 2021, 2020 and 2019. Shambolic ends. The final score was Warrington 0, Hull KR 19.
What are we going to do? I mean, are we going to pick the bones out of
this? What are we going to do? I can juggle.
Don't do that. No, put your underpants. Sam, first question. I was out and I was drinking and I was very pissed by this time. Didn't even see the drop goal in the end. I just like couldn't be arsed. But it was put to me by a rah-rah brigade person saying, like, is it normal to get a nil in? And I thought to myself, you know what? Have we been nilled this year? Or when was the last time we'd been nilled? Do you know?
No, we've not been nilled this year. It was interesting to just as a statistical quirk, it was the first time both home teams in the playoffs on the same weekend have been nilled, with Wigan the night before. Oh, and how we laughed at Wigan the night before, how we thought, God, they're shit and they can't score a point. Little did we know that 24 hours later, we would be embarrassed in the same way.
Suggests that there's some kind of thing going on in Lancashire, Yorkshire, doesn't it? That, you know, we were unable to score any points this week in Lancashire.
We've just both got really shit coaches.
Oh, well, yeah, there is that.
Or maybe they're in league with Indian bookmakers.
Indian bookmakers?
Who's your fancy for Strictly this year, Sam? I think the deaf girl. Off. Deaf girl for me. She's gorgeous as well. I'm going for her.
Yeah, I think she's good, but she's only just marginally better than that guy who presents
Dan Walker.
He's good.
I thought he was very
seriously.
Good. What do you think, missing, Dennis?
He came across as... You know what really surprised me about him was, Sam? Because he's brilliant on the TV. You know, he can cross over from sports to current affairs. And Mrs. London was saying he can't dance as well, but he can, absolutely.
I tell you what, right, you're so out of touch. Nobody watches that shite anymore. At one time you could probably wank over that with a fair degree of, like, confidence. But now you've got Dan Wanker on there.
I don't know about your private life. We should point out at this stage that Dennis has got a hatred for Dan Walker to the extent that he's actually written a letter to the BBC to try and get him fired. So
It's probably better than the letter that you wrote to the local village committee saying that Dan Walker was moving to the village, and it was read out on a meeting that I sat on. And everybody's going, oh, Dan Walker's coming to the village. And I thought, something's fishy here. That bastard over there had written a letter.
Right, should we move on to some letters that have come in? Now, I've got to apologise, boys, because I tell you what, some of the adjectives and nouns that have been used in these letters, I'm not sure if we should leave them all in, but as you can imagine, there's a common theme running through pretty much all of them. You might remember last year when we went out in the playoffs, we received about 150 emails and tweets, and we found one that was positive towards Stephen Price. And we, as balance here, very similar to the BBC, we read that one out. Unfortunately, this year, I haven't got any at all. I haven't got one. I've got one that sort of mentions Simon Moran, so we'll mention that one. But Mrs. London said to me today, she said, what are you doing? I said, I'm trying to sift through all these letters and find at least one that's positive towards, you know, what's gone on, but no, couldn't find any. So we'll start with the Equaliser 73. He says, cannot just blame Price. Fitzy, some senior players and the assistants must take responsibility. Glad to see a totally different coaching team coming in, but happy that Gardner is staying.
Sam's twitching, so he's got something on this. Have you got a letter supporting Price, Sam?
No, not at all. I just like the way that Rob still calls them letters.
Yes, yeah. Remember him taking the piss about with me about that when we first started. And you don't get letters anymore, and now he's got a pile of them. Yeah.
Moving on to the next letter. This is from Martin. I do apologise, Martin. I'm not even going to try and pronounce your surname, but you know who you are. Play the podcast from last year's review again, as nothing has changed. This club has a cultural crisis that goes way, way beyond Stephen Price.
Mm. Have we got any comeback on any of these letters? What were we thinking? You know.
Well, I think the first two kind of, don't they sort of almost combine together that there is some form of cultural problems within the club? It has been mentioned, and that can't be at the door of just Steve Price. It's got to go to board level, and they've got to look at that. I mean, it's something is clearly reading between the lines, aren't we? And we've read between the lines more than once.
I think, Rob, you are 100% on it there, and you don't know what it is. If someone could decide what it is, then we wouldn't have been waiting 60 odd years since our last championship, would we? Steve Price is the focal point of the crowd, because ultimately it's his team and his team has failed. But that's only the last 4 years, not the previous 60 before it. He's not responsible for them. And maybe it, at the minute, just like it was at Manchester City for all those years, we're very good at losing. We're very good at being the nearly men. We're almost as if we wallow in it, and something has to change.
Well, you know what? I honestly do this in my day job, right? And I culturally know exactly what the issue
fuck's that going to do with chimney sweeping?
Well, let me just say, chimney sweeping is all about clearing out all the old soot and everything. And the thing is that when you're put in a position like the CEO in rugby league, with the bias that you have, because you know you want to be in that industry, sometimes that holds you back in recognizing what's right in front of you. And the thing is that when you're looking at all, like, you know, the players and focusing on your marketing like 80% of the time, you're not actually focusing on what you need to do, which is the culture of people around the club. And I think that's exactly where it's fucking going wrong. And I think until somebody goes in there and actually has a brief that takes it away from just like looking at, you know, all the marketing, etc., and focuses very much on like the leadership and people in the club, then it's just going to remain the same.
I mean, what is the marketing? I heard the BBC, they had some chap on this week going on about, you know, Warrington sets the example for everyone. I don't see anything they're achieving. There's empty seats everywhere. They've not got a major blue chip corporate sponsor on the front of the shirt.
Speaker of the House giving out Warrington shirts to Nancy Pelosi and Chorley.
I don't get where all this time and effort is being spent, because it's certainly not showing on the stands.
Yeah, I think, Rob, it's as we talked about just before the podcast, it's a low bar, and we might be one of the best teams at it, but just because we're good in comparison to the other Super League clubs doesn't necessarily mean that we're doing anything earth-shattering.
Cal O'Callaghan, the worst live performance I've seen across any sport. All well and good having a new coach coming in, but hard to feel much of a connection with any of this playing group now. Three horrendously underwhelming years, and for all of Price's mundane tactics, the players just didn't look that arsed either. Thought this was an interesting point, that if you just looked at the body language of both coaches and the coaching staff around them in the game, Lee Breers looks like he's about to burst into tears sitting next to Steve Price. And there's some bloke behind who's like a shitting dog that clearly doesn't want to speak. It's just a whole group of them, Dennis, there that just have awful body language that say they're not communicating with each other. Yet you look down at Tony Smith sitting there next door to Danny Maguire, and they're talking away. They're interacting, they're smiling. Danny Maguire's in Tony Smith's ear all the time, telling him things. Smith's nodding, etc. Seeing none of that up in the box with Price and his gang around. And they all look like they're foreign to each other.
Well, you say that there's no smoke without fire. And I think earlier on in the year, I think it was alluded that there may have been a falling out in the back, the backroom staff and things like that. You know, whether that proved true or not, I think the points you've just made suggest that it's not very cohesive. It's you mentioned also about Agar and Long as well, Leeds chatting away, working together, this, that and the other. Yeah, we don't see that in our box. It's a very static box, isn't it, really? A glass static box.
Right, here we go. One in from Andy Davis. Now, I've left. Now I thought I'd left an adjective out prior to Price's name. Now, this caused all kind of conjecture in the London household this afternoon because my other half has a master's in English. Even she wasn't sure if it was a noun or an adjective. Oh. So then she rang her mother, who also has a master's in English, and apparently it's actually a noun, but it comes with a silent comma. Basically, called Price a cunt. Ah, but anyway, right. We'll carry on. He said, so I decided to give myself a night to calm down from last night's fuck-up, but it hasn't worked. Despite the number of times Price says resilience, every time we've gone behind, we go to pieces. Doesn't seem to help if we're expected to win either. One for Sam. Biggest wire shit show he's ever seen. I'm used to getting beaten. Wigan in the 80s taught me this. But at least then I can hardly even remember feeling that the lads hadn't given everything. Well, hopefully you boys can find the words to describe it because I cannot. Did you manage to get that noun, Price, a lift to the airport? I thought after the game he was going to lock himself in that Perspex twat cabin and never come out. Oh. Hope you keep the pod going next year. I'm really enjoying it. Is that what it needs to be known going forward, Dennis? The Perspex twat cabin, maybe?
Well, I think, yeah, it's not a tackle bag suggestion, is it?
One in from Ryan Bridge. I feel for Simon Moran. Same old shite every year. I don't think that's fair. I mean, some of Rick Astley's albums have been fine.
I know. So that's true.
Richard Shawright from the 4020 podcast. Uh-oh. Can we get a refund for Tom Lynham?
No. Did you not send him back a picture of our returns policy?
I did, yeah. The Hulk AR Red Robin podcast wrote to us, on the plus side, lads, at least you've got Robbie Mulhern. So, Mr. Kinsella, how many times have we lost without Cooper this season? ? Were Charlie and Austin dropped because they had a set to at training? Either way, there was no plan B, plan C, plan D. Price should have been given his P45 after that shit show of a second half in 2019. Good riddance.
I mean, did you think Cooper would have made a big difference to the attitude on the night? What do you reckon, Sam?
No, I don't, actually. We did not lose that game because Mike Cooper wasn't playing. We lost that game in the heads of the people on the pitch. When they didn't score in the first 10 minutes, they started to panic more and more and more and became their own worst enemies and did exactly what they've done in the past.
Interesting. Okay. I looked at Clark, Daryl Clark, and I thought he was going at a different speed to everyone else. And I think if he's playing for Penrith or Melbourne, all the players around him would probably feed off him, I think, because they can play at that speed. But I didn't see any necessity for Clark to play at that speed with the donkers he's got around him. I just feel that they can't keep that speed going, our forward pack, around Clark. And had he slowed down and just played a bit more of their level. So I'm kind of criticising him, but I'm not. I just think his speed of the game is too quick for some of the ability he's got around him.
I think as well, you see that in defence more clearly. When a player rushes up and he's ahead of the others and it creates a dogleg in the defensive line, and it's either you've all got to be a bit slower or you've all got to be a bit faster. You've got to all be on the same level, all be playing together. You can't have one being something different to the other. So I sort of get what you're saying there. You need just to rein it in occasionally to create a better team.
With that, you know, we didn't mention, and there was a lot of tweaks, Rob. I don't know if you've got any there or stuff, but what about the team selection for this particular game?
Well, this has come up, you know what, this has come up endlessly in tweets that have come through. And funnily enough, Mr. London Senior mentioned this as well. And then lo and behold, today I was talking to a mate in Australia who's been showing an interest in Warrington for a while because he knows I watch them. And he called me and said, and he said what everyone had said. He said, how would you win a game of footy with one prop? How do you win a game of footy when you've only got one prop? You know, you've got Akawala playing for 15 minutes, never to be seen again. You've got Mulhern, who's not big enough. Philbin's playing this 13 that doesn't seem to exist. And we had all these mini-me's out there again. And Mr. London said it's going to be the same next year unless we go and buy two big props and a loose forward. We need a loose forward as well, because Philbin's not a loose forward. He's gone backwards since Bennett picked him in that side. When he toured down under, he's gone backwards. And I think I'm going to put the blame more on Price, because I think he's been played out of position. I think Philbin's role was to come off the bench as a battering ram and do what he was doing in that semi-final against Hull in the Challenge Cup, etc. That's what Philbin's role is. But you can't win. I can't believe how lopsided this squad has become.
I think there was a really possibly the most interesting discussion on Sky after the game between Kevin Brown, Phil Clark and Brian Carney, where they did touch on the lopsided nature of the squad. And even Kevin Brown said, perhaps you need one or two basic lads who are going to do the hard yards rather than all these talented lads. You need a couple of lads who's going to... I mean, we're crying out for Ben Westwood in his peak, aren't we? We're absolutely crying out for that. We're crying out for Adrian Morley, or just one or two of them. That's all we need. Maybe three, Alan London's referring to. But you look at the team, where is our real leader who's pulling the team up by the straps and saying, fucking get in there. We all want to play nice. Oh, we all want to play nice.
Sunday morning, Sam.
Yeah, but I've no problem, or I've not really got any problem with hardly any of the players, but as a group, we're lacking that extra something. We're lacking that nasty bastard prop or that slightly grubby second rower who's going to do all the niggling stuff, or we're lacking that halfback who's going to yap in the ear of the referee until he gets his way. We're lacking, not necessarily in ability with the hands, but we're lacking a Maguire or a Andy Farrell or a Kieran Cunningham or a Paul Wellens.
Well, let me just jump in here, Sam, because you know, we go on about Ratchford and, you know, all right, he's in his latter stages of his career, and but he's still a really good player. I mean, he has played in every position you can possibly think of, possibly not prop. And yet we've got a marquee player we're paying 400 grand a year who can't even get in the squad and not even use as an option, who's adaptable to go play in one of these positions. I think that for me, on team selection, was the biggest thing.
It's a comedy of errors, isn't it? It's a snowballing effect right from the top. There's been poor recruitment because they've not looked at the foundations of what's needed in a team like Sam's mentioned. And Hull KR had it on show. Hull KR had some big boppers out there. Then you've got to look at also the interaction that Price has had with his junior players and this total neglect of leaving them on the bench time and time again. And we've been told, we knew that Lewis Johnson didn't want to play for him anymore. Lewis Johnson wanted out of the club. He wanted away from the club if Price was going to be there. And lo and behold, Lewis Johnson's blood, you know, it ran dry during that game because he was being given an opportunity and he played. We've got a chap that we've suddenly found in Connor Wrench who had done nothing wrong. He had a brilliant couple of games. Yet he's cast aside to let a guy come back into the team who's been manhandling bollocks for half a season. I don't get it. And again, this ongoing debate of where Ratchford plays. First half, not that King did much during the game, but I think on one occasion he gets away down the left-hand edge. It's sort of half in a tackle. He gets the ball away with his right hand and Widdop's off. Widdop jumps back inside and he's off and he's through a gap. Where's Matty Ashton?
Yeah.
Sitting
Where
on the
is
bench.
Matty Ashton?
Sitting on the
What's
bench.
What's his strike rate? It must be quite high. He's got three tries in one of, like, you know, two games he's played in the last few weeks, and yet he can't get in the side. You know, it's fucking nuts.
I mean, Dom made a brilliant point last week. He said, you know, as much as he wanted to see Ashton in the side and as much as he wanted to see this, etc., we all knew that Price was going to pick a conservative team. Mm. And that's what he did, didn't he? But it's been a knock-on effect. He's created more problems in not solving where players should play over the past 18 months. Leads to this convoluted team that's then put together because Mike Cooper's out of the side and it didn't quite work out with Greg Inglis and all these kind of things. And it's just a mess. I've just watched Grand Designs and the architect, from day one, he's putting the foundations down before he starts building the walls and the roof. Ours is the house that Jack built, and we've got a bloke called Jack who's the captain who shouldn't be. It's all wrong.
The marketing bit you mentioned a bit earlier as well, it seems to be, and I'm going to go on about it, is that, you know, we're more interested in signing Greg Inglis that didn't work out, but those high-profile names, without, like you say, thinking about the fundamentals of what we actually do need. And to Sam's point, that's some, like, prop with a bit of a grunt and a bit hard, so...
Well, I think Mr. London's referring to we need two props next year because, of course, Chris Hill's not going to be with us. And Chris Hill tried so hard, I thought. You know, he dropped balls because he was trying and he had no one else that was running onto the ball that flat and so hard. It was...
God, this is becoming a bit of a rant, isn't it? Come on, pick it up a bit. Have we got another positive letter?
Well, one in from a very good Warrington player, ex-Warrington player, Ian Knott, who I saw have an absolute blinder of a game at Headingley. Against Leeds many years ago. He writes, regarding Sky's comments, poor Kev, he didn't know where to look. They were giving him a bit of a battering, weren't they, Sam? You know, Carney on one side. I mean, I actually thought it was great for once.
Yes.
We had two journalists who were not sitting on the fence. Yeah. You know, it's not like, oh, I've got to meet up with you, Steve, on Thursday, so I better write a nice, good article about you. We actually had two people, Carney thinking, I'm bigger than this, I'm bigger than the players, I'm bigger than the coaches, I'll say what I want to say. And you could clearly see the frustration from Carney. Carney knows there's something wrong. And Phil Clark backed him up. And I did feel sorry for Kevin Brown because he's such a nice bloke. And he didn't know where to look and he didn't really know how to come back with the answers.
And my only criticism at that moment is not just with Warrington, but I'd love to see Carney and Clark be more like that more often earlier in the season. It'd be such, they don't have to be nasty, but challenging rather than nicey-nicey. It was great. It was, if it weren't your own team, it'd be great watching, wasn't it? But it was else, so you felt it. And they were right.
One in from Lewis. First time Phil Clark has spoken truth about us in ages. They should have asked Brown. Everybody thinks Price is clueless, but what do the players think?
So he did mention.
I mean, that's probably going a bit far, Lewis. Yeah, but
they sort of did say that, didn't they? And he said his after match press conferences are dull and boring. But everyone tells us he's different behind the scenes. Is that right?
Yeah, I want to know what this difference is. I mean, what would he be like, Rob? What do you think he'd be like in the, you know, what's the difference behind the scenes? Give us your in-house perspective here.
Well, I think Sam's kind of pointed at it. He's trying to run some kind of, I don't know, what's he doing? He's trying to sort of run with discipline, is he? Is that what he's trying to do? He's almost...
Yeah, but if you were going to run with discipline, would you not be running down to the changing rooms just before half-time, ready to give him a bit of a rollicking or something, rather than sitting there going, looking at your notes going, what am I going to say? I've used resilience. What about hard nows? Oh, no, can't use hard nows. Lee? Where are you, Lee?
He lost the dressing room ages ago, didn't he? He lost the dressing room over a year ago. Mm. You know, from rumours we heard on a golf course, the dressing room had gone 12 months ago. So, you know, nothing. Should we just play what we played last year? I mean, you know, that's probably all we need to do, isn't it? It's not come as a surprise. Christopher Baisley, we've got so many overrated players in the ranks on big money. Charnley, Lynham, Austin and a few more. As for Price, they were warned he plays boring rugby And that's proven to be correct. I mean, it's funny. If you go back to... Why did Smith lose the dressing room? I mean, what went... I mean, no, Smith was throwing chairs around the Warrington dressing room in those last couple of games.
Stale.
It was almost as if we just reset, didn't we? I mean, Price came in on that first week and it was five drives and a kick to Toby King. And we seem to have the pack that was able to beat enough for the teams to do that. But it's never really gone on from there, Sammy. He seemed to put some strong fundamentals in those first few months.
Yeah.
But yeah. That was it, really.
I think Dennis has just used the word stale. And perhaps with Tony Smith, there's only, when you're at a club for a long period of time, I suspect there's only so many times you can say the same thing before people stop listening to you. Now, Price has only been with us 4 years, but you're right. He brought some stability in that first year. We looked like we were going to be a tough, hard-working team. That seemed to be his mantra. We got to two finals, and you thought, you know what? If the foundations are a tough, hard-working team, and we can sprinkle on top of that a bit of magic with a couple of good halfbacks, maybe we've got something. But it never went any further. And actually, we have scored a few more points this year, but we seem to have lost that toughness. And he doesn't seem to have been able to combine the two.
Oh, dear. Well, I have got one positive, lads, and that's we found an absolute belter in Longstaff. I mean, I know he's 3 stone wet through at the moment, but he doesn't take a backward step. And I thought he showed more mongrel than any of them put together in that game. I thought he was the one that was, at least he was trying to belt people. He also seems to get in a few fights. A few of the blokes don't seem to like what Longstaff does to them. You know, he's obviously a bit nouty.
Yeah.
And he just gets their blood boiling a little bit, which is more than biggie said for the rest of the pack. Right, well, everyone, it's time for a speech now. I'm not sure if we should even play his jingle, Dennis. I mean, I'm waiting for this. My mouth's gone dry.
Yeah, let me just get this.
We've been told we're not allowed to talk through it. He's come with strict instructions.
He's warming up now.
I'm waiting for this.
He's limbering up. A few stretches.
Cue the music.
Friends, Wire fans, Warringtonians, lend me your ears. I come to bury Steve Price, not to praise him. For honourable men have said that Steve's time is at an end and he must go. Who am I to contradict them? These honourable commentators have also said that he is underperformed, and again, I cannot disagree. Just one trophy in 4 seasons isn't good enough, and no league title at Warrington means you were a failure, just like the 17 coaches who preceded him. These honourable men point to a wealth of talent in the players' group and say they are not helped to their potential. Players like Steph Ratchford, perhaps our most consistent attacking player over the last half a dozen years, on Friday made key decision to stay in the line for young Lewis to chip over him and beat him for pace. He gave away a key high shot penalty leading to a 14-point lead, and throughout the season has registered just one try from fullback. These men look to his understudy Ashton with pace to burn, but his first contribution on Friday was to drop a basic high ball stone cold. Men look to the two seasoned wingers, international players, but who this year have been displaced by a young local lad who's actually a fullback. In the centres, rising star Toby King started the season on fire, but has scored just once in the last 12 games. He was blunt again on Friday. Jake Mamo, a shining star in the year, but on Friday the heavens did not align. 5 handling errors and key defensive misreads, handing possession over to Hull KR time and time again. In the halves, 2 marquee men, players with proven track records in big games, they're paid the big bucks, but on Friday between them could not muster a single point. That's not a single point against a team that concedes on average 23 points a game and is ranked 9th in the Super League, Only Castleford, Salford and Lee have worse defences. A powder puff pack. Chris Hill, a great servant but past his best. Mulhern tries. Sitalecki promises a lot in 10-minute spells but no more. And Joe Philbin seems this year more interested in selling socks than he does reproducing the Wembley performance we all remember. Between them, they ran for just 251 metres on Friday. We had no go forward. Our action man Hooker dropping the ball and giving away penalties and outshone on Friday by the Hull KR reserve, Hooker. Mr. Consistency Jack Hughes in the second row, who is now being consistently quiet and ineffective for weeks. And Ben, you know he's my favourite, but even him, he was ineffective on Friday, just 7 carries for 41 metres. The rest were bit part players, but we do have some green shoots in Thewlis, Longstaff, Wrench and Durrow. Maybe the new Caesar can nurture them. Friends, Wire fans, Warringtonians, yes, Price had to go. Perhaps he should have gone 12 months earlier. But make no mistake, the real coach killers on Friday night were the 17 players wearing primrose and blue who wilted under the pressure of expectation against a team missing many of its first choice players. A team wearing primrose and blue who made 20 handling errors and were unable to grasp the opportunity that this season provided them. A team that, to use an old sporting term, choked. Long live Powell, the new Caesar, and good luck, he's going to need it.
Wow, hey, he's put some... I mean, that's the first time Mr. Sankey's any put any dedication and time into this podcast.
I know.
It's taken 3 years, but...
How long did it take you to write, Sam, that, from Friday? And what did you do yesterday?
Very good.
I studied Julius Caesar, as you might realise, when I did English literature. Yeah. And it just came to me that everyone blames Price.
But I'd like to see some stats of Cal Fitzpatrick as well over the last few years, if we ever come
I was going to say that, because what Sam's doing there is shitting on people below Price.
Yeah.
Do we need to piss up as well, Sam?
Yes.
Perhaps, but I don't have any. I'm not privy to any metrics and key objectives within the Warrington Wolves board to know whether he's hitting his targets.
Are you going to ask Mike Lomax next time he's down the pub?
Mike won't tell me anything because he knows I'll just come on air and tell you.
Where would you put that, Dennis, in the top five speeches of all time? Number five speech was the Kennedy inauguration. Number four is seen as the Gettysburg Address by Abraham Lincoln. Three is Nelson Mandela, I am the first accused. At two we have Churchill, I shall fight them on the beaches. And at number one, I have a dream, Martin Luther King. I'm saying Sam's about three or four there.
So that first one, is that not Jason Donovan?
Oh, sorry, I thought it was JF.
Oh, no, right, yeah. Right, just Donovan, after yeah. that, I'd say. He's probably where he's at.
Super League referee Liam Moore is to host a new Channel 4 pilot show to rival BBC's Countryfile, entitled Farming on the Moors. Should the programme turn out to receive good ratings, Moore will star in More to Follow. The show was going to be called One Moore and His Dog, but unfortunately the production crew failed to stop Ben Thaler licking his own bollocks. This week, the RFL hit out after its disciplinary panel was accused of being inconsistent with their jurisdiction. The RFL went on to say that the panel made up of Zippy, George and Bungle were doing a great job and they would continue to follow the letter of the law using their blindfolded pin-the-tail-on-the-donkey punishment manual and hand out the longevity of the players' bans through their state-of-the-art bingo calling machine. And finally, the oldest IQ society in the world, Mensa International, is to go in search of a high intellect from a fan in the Halliwell Jones South Stand. Mensah said it would be their hardest ever task, comparing the challenge to like turning water into wine. However, it was pointed out the Brewers Green or Whitley had succeeded at Wilderspool Stadium in turning beer into piss for years.
Right, well, there's the news headlines. Thank fuck for the final time having to write that shite. And it's on to the stories. Oh, not really a story this week, because I think we've kind of involved here into more of a tales of the unexpected, Area 50,
no, it's fails of the unexpected. It's... Get it right. Or are you referring to...
I had to turn off every week. When it comes on, Dennis. I don't know what it's called. Right, the headline is Super League boasted this week that Sky Sports viewing figures are up. Chief Commercial Officer Rodri Jones said, "Our numbers show the popularity of the competition and it sets everything up nicely for the final 3 weeks of the season. The competition continues to grow with Sky Sports viewers, with both aggregate and average audiences rising and the average audience for 2021 being the highest in the last 6 years. Sitting at more than 150,000. More games than ever before broke 200,000 viewer mark. These games involved 10 different clubs, showing that the game's popularity with viewers was across the board. Super League viewing figures were up 16% in 2020, and they've added another 6% in 2021. So, how does that compare to other television and media as a whole? Well, during lockdown, adults spent 6.5 hours a day watching TV or online videos.
Jesus.
Or 45 hours a week.
Fucking
hell. 1 hour and 11 minutes per day spent watching streaming services. It doubled during the pandemic. Mm. 12 million new customers on Netflix, Amazon Prime and Disney. And viewing figures for video streaming services is up 71%.
What about podcasts? I mean, has everybody been listening to the podcast? Have we had massive figures as well? Right?
We have. We have, actually. Our figures have gone up in the region of 20% in the last 2 years. So we're at a 40% gain.
It's about
to
take a nosedive, though, isn't it, after Sam's little speech?
Well, it is, yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it was pretty shit. So really, what I'm trying to say here is 21%... much of a gain when everyone's been in sodding lockdown for the past 2 years. I mean, are we just talking here, Sam, about really, if you couldn't score in a brothel, what's the point? I mean, to me, that looks like a failure.
I wonder, actually, if crowds are down, is it just the people who are not actually going to the match and now watching it on TV?
Hey, actually, talking about drop-off of percentages, I mean, what were the crowds like once we got back compared to, like, you know, before lockdown sort of capacities
well,
and things?
This is a very much of an Area 51 job because it seems mysteriously very, very difficult to find attendances anymore, mm-hmm. whereas it used to be announced every match and it used to be announced on Twitter and it used to be... on the bottom of your BBC Sports page, attendance so many.
It's almost like they're burying their head in the sand, isn't it? It's almost as if something's amiss. Let's just have a look at some other audience figures, just to sort of compare to that 20% rise that Sky Sports has had. The BBC has been reaching an audience of 20 million a week across its evening bulletins. The World Service is reaching 163 million people, rather than the 95 million people it was reaching in foreign languages. ITV has also confirmed their audience during lockdown is up 147%. Not 21% Sky Sports and the RFL, 147%. Mm. But not to be left out, Channel 4 said their figures peaked at 14.7 million viewers in March, a whopping 300% more than pre-COVID. It has also seen the proportion of 14 to 16-year-old viewers nearly double from 1.3 to 2.2 million during lockdown. Sky News has reached an average audience of 4.2 million or 10.2 million a week, breaking all previous records, an increase of 150%. I mean, it just goes on and on and on, doesn't it? I mean, clearly, if we're not in a pandemic, we're not up 20%, boys, we're dying. We're dying on our arse.
Is it true, Sam, that you won't be buying a season ticket next year?
As if I was
you're not,
be asked that today, I wouldn't be. But that isn't actually, and that's why I'll have to wait a couple of weeks and see how I really feel. I'm getting bored with rugby league, or more to the point,
this podcast.
I am watching a lot of NRL and quite enjoying it, and I'm watching less and less and less Super League. I used to religiously watch the Friday night match, whoever it was, as long as Warrington weren't playing, I'd watch it. I can't be arsed anymore.
Are other things sort of dropping off? How's your libido?
I was going to say, yeah.
That's holding up okay at the minute. Ooh. That's holding up okay.
Both metaphorically and literally, by the sound.
Yeah, but I can't be asked going out for a run anymore, so that's the first sign of energy going into, you know.
Jesus Christ. But just imagine, though, you know, Sam's an ardent sort of supporter of Warrington. So far, I mean, we're doing a podcast. My God, I mean, he's a perfect fan.
He's almost still supporting Steve Price. You can't find anyone better.
Yeah, there is a tinge of that. I mean, you know, if that's like tip of the iceberg. I mean, we've seen some of the comments coming in, and there's been a lot of people saying, like, I'm not buying this shit anymore. I'm not, as you said, Sam. So it's not just a loss of interest in Warrington, but across the board as well. But it makes me wonder about how you're going to pull that round as a club next year, because, you know, you've been proven 3 years on the trot to stick to a strategy that's fucking boring. You could sit there on your arse and watch rugby all year, knowing that when you get to those playoffs, it's going to be a bag of shit.
Yeah, I think you're right, Dennis. But I think for me, it's a wider issue. I didn't watch Wigan versus Leeds on Thursday. I've seen that game three times already this year.
Yeah.
And I've seen us play. I used to look at when we played Wigan each year and make sure.
You weren't at the brother-in-law's.
Yeah, those type of things, Rob. I wouldn't miss that. Now I know.
Is it Bill Arthur? Is it Bill Arthur that's doing it for you?
It's because we've got the same games time and time and time again.
Is it Ralph Rimmer?
It only really matters if you get into the top six.
When's Ralph on?
If we go down to 10 clubs, that'll really kill it. You'll be playing the same teams week in, week out. No variety, no difference. Death of rugby league, or professional rugby league.
This is depressing, isn't it? Jesus.
Who wants to join me for a drink?
Yes.
Please.
I want to take you to a free bar. Free bar. Free bar. Let's start a war. Start a Warrington war. At the free bar. Free bar. Free bar. Wah-ah-ah.
Right, lads, it's on for the free bar again, and it's definitely a free bar today. All the drinks are on Dennis.
Excellent.
We'll start with Keith Chegwine's written in. He said, I was disappointed last week regards the derogatory remarks made towards the Tasmanian devil. I am a qualified zoologist, and I can confirm I have never met a more adaptable animal. I've had the misfortune of visiting A&E on two occasions, once to have a hamster removed and the second time an aggressive gerbil. But I have never experienced such discomfort with the resilient Antipodean furball. If I wave a piece of mature Stilton or stinky bishop near the opening of my anus, the devilish whiskered marsupial is guaranteed to always appear. I appreciate this is not a question, so I'll finish by asking Mr. Waywell, what's the biggest thing you've ever shoved up your big fat hairy arsehole?
Well, I can't really divulge that, I don't think. Nobody will.
I remember that girl from Doncaster once. Gee, the yelps that were coming out of your room.
Yeah, let's move on.
And they weren't hers. They weren't hers, Sam.
Well, put it this way, we didn't have anything to put on the salad the next day.
Mike Reeds has written in. May I wish Benny Westwood all the best with his food emporium and pass on some words of advice. I would like to say what a load of bollocks food hygiene laws are. I've been a baker for 25 years and not once have I washed my hands after having a dump. So far, No one has complained.
Right, that's good news, isn't it? Just yes. A number of people have died. I've got a bit of a rumour. Rumour is that Cal Fitzpatrick is about to announce the new halftime entertainment for 2022. In conjunction with Halliwell Jones Motors, the new concept called Hotwire will see a weekly prize of a BMW 3 Series being offered to the fans. Fans who can break into the BMW and hotwire the engine can walk off with the prize. How's about that?
Or drive off with the prize.
The new fan engagement Hotwire entertainment plan for next year was cast into doubt this week when the Halliwell Jones Motor executives cited the concept could be too costly and might lead to bankruptcy due to the demographic of the fans north of the river. That's the end of that.
Oh dear. Maggie Hilbins has written in. Maggie Hilbins, she says, I was disappointed to hear Mrs. Sankey only reaching for the heights of a pizza date night. Never settle for second best, Mrs. Sankey. Accept nothing less than a three-course meal, even if you are married to a massive twat. Thanks, Maggie. That's a good one.
That's a bit harsh.
One from a chap living in Dubai who wishes to remain nameless. Just listened to the pod in the gym and nearly fell off the treadmill in shock at how far under the thumb Mrs. Sankey keeps Sam. Going out for a meal when Warrington are on the telly. Not going to a playoff match at home because he's too scared to cancel on his brother-in-law. Very poor form. I think you've just mentioned this, Sam, haven't you? Your heart's not in it anymore.
Yeah, that's it.
Peter Coonan's written in. He's from Latchford. He's emailed in, actually, lads. He said, the other day, I rushed round to my neighbour's house to warn them there was a kangaroo in their garden. Imagine how silly I felt when they explained it was just their greyhound having a shit. Talking of which, can I ask the free bar just how shit Warrington are?
What's this on a scale of what? A whippet shit?
I'd say it's a big steamy greyhound shit, isn't it, at the moment, really, Sam? That's where we're at. And after that speech you gave, it's a bloody St. Bernard.
Yeah.
Jesus. Noel Edmines has written in, I'd like to thank the script writers for the brilliant sitcom Mutiny on the HJ.
Well done, yes.
I haven't enjoyed such a chuckle since my ex-wife divorced me and 3 weeks later I won the lottery. Mm-hmm. If the podcast were to win the jackpot, would you consider buying out Mr. Maranovic and taking over the club? Oh. And if the answer is yes, what would be the first thing you'd do as new owners?
Oh.
Not jackpot, but crackpot decision you'd make.
Oh.
Dennis.
Oh. Firstly, I'd paint all the changing rooms orange. It's the most influential colour for when you're trying to give them a bit of motivation.
Is that why Draper did hair dryers? Is that why he did the dryers?
Could be. Yeah. I would order all-in-one leotards as the new training kit. I want people to feel freedom in their thing. I would have yoga and what do you call it? The awareness session.
Mindfulness.
Yeah, mindfulness. That's it. Thanks, Sam. Couldn't remember the word. Yeah, and I'd have to think about some other wacky things, I think. But, the more extreme it is sometimes, the more attention you can gain from an individual. So that'd be my strategy.
Have you been watching Ted Lasso?
Yeah.
Yeah, thought so. Sam, I mean, you've given a 3-minute speech that was, but what are you going to back it up with? I mean, you're in the boardroom now, you're in the big chair, you've cleared Carl's pin board, with all his little bits on.
I think if it's before November, I think I'd get an artist up on the side of the HJ and we'd rub out wolves, we'd put tigers, and we'd change the colours to amber and black to make Daryl feel at home, to make him feel welcome. And it'd be, that's what we'd do. A new merger club.
Right, fair enough. Okay. Sarah Greens has written in. She said, I listened with interest about your discussion on the Challenge Cup final moving from Wembley to Tottenham Hotspur and its state-of-the-art new stadium. Apparently the structure to the main stand is made from graphene, that scientists claim is the thinnest material ever developed. Obviously, they've never bought Aldi Value bin liners. And the final one is in from Phyllis Schofield. She's written, a bit like Hitler, I like to plan ahead. Is the podcast planning on returning for Series 4? And if so, will there be a void in your comedy material now that the clown Steve Price is no longer involved? I mean, we have talked about this, Dennis, haven't we?
We have, yes. There are a few formats going round. We haven't sort of looked at the voices as yet, but we've got a few ideas up our sleeve. Is that fair to say, Mr. London?
Yes, no, I think it's fair to say. I think it's fair to say we're working on something, but we should probably move on because you are sitting down, Dennis, aren't you? You've got your pills there.
I've got another bit.
Oh, sorry, Dennis, yeah, you carry on. Sorry.
A message from Pete Falsheath, producer of Kinetic Space Film Studios. Will the What Bevan team be releasing a highlight series this year? We're looking for talent in the podcasting arena as we're in the process of commissioning a fly-on-the-wall documentary about the industry. If you could supply about 25 sound bites, we would love to review them and feature you in our up-and-coming film. P.S. We welcome edgy, risque material, but draw the line at Rob London's letters. So it might have to work on that, I think. So I've been looking at a few of the clips that we've done, and we haven't really got enough, Rob. So we're going to have to look at the ones that were on the cutting room floor, I'm afraid. So here, you know, are just some of the clips that haven't made it on the pod for various reasons. Rob's already getting anxious because he knows what's coming. The first one that had to be dropped was Tom Lynham's gynecology sketch, Carry On Flapping. That was deemed sexist. So that was that one on the floor. The RFL Kama Sutra tackle book. This was a sketch with Ralph Rimmer doing a preface on a monologue on rimming. But a young audience shouldn't be subjected to that.
That was Sam's suggestion, though.
We didn't want to say that. Nicki Minaj testicle symposium with Jack Hughes featuring Bollock Bingo. But Rob didn't have the bollocks to release that one. So that was that. Steve will fix it. Don't even want to read about that. For the Bake Off this year, Blake shakes his snake over his flaky bake. It's too suggestive that Austin was a cock, so we didn't do that one. Morons Money, game show, a bit like Tipping Point, but with a waterfall of cash dropping into a bucket of turds held by Cal Fitzpatrick. But Cal Fitzpatrick refused to endorse the bucket, but was happy enough with the shit. But the other one that I've got as well is the Ben Barber one, Rob, if you remember.
No.
Thank you for taking my call, Mr. Barber. This is Ken Dooley from the Job Centre Australia. I'm just following up on your recent application for state benefit. Is this a convenient time, Mr. Barber? How are you feeling at the moment?
Yeah, right now I'm loaded on three different kinds of speed. Heroin, LSD, psilocybin weed.
I know you'll cut it.
And time now, finally, for the last chapter of our long-running dreadful sitcom, Mutiny on the HJ. I guess like every journey, this one too, thank Christ, has come to an end. We can only hope, if there is a spin-off to this awful little drama, it doesn't turn out to be what Knott's Landing was to Dallas. I mean, if Steve Price is JR, God help us if Daryl Powell turns out to be Cliff Barnes.
Yeah. Oh, Steve, the water in the Manchester Ship Canal is thicker than a 1980s Evergreen's bouncer.
Oh, bloody oath it is, Rolfie. All of a sudden my lack of using the interchange bench seems quite intellectual in comparison.
Oh, never mind. We must keep focusing, Stevie. We're only three resilient swing bridges away from the treasure at Old Trafford. Isn't that right, Mr. Hill?
Aye, aye, Admiral Rimmer. And just that slow-moving, antiquated sluice gate over there.
Well, that's no way to talk about Stevie.
Shall I prepare the crew pricey for one final push? I mean, we've set sail on this same old repetitious course now for the past 3 years, and I feel that you...
That's enough of that, Master Hill. We really don't need to dredge up Captain Stevie's history at this stage. The only thing we need to worry about is not emptying the contents of our resilient macerator toilet into Latchford locks. We certainly don't want to find ourselves slurry-bound like one of Commodore Fitzpatrick's edgy marketing ideas. Although, if I'm being honest, over the years, I'm not sure which has dredged up more shit, the dredger or your coaching.
Struth, Rolfie. This murky water is a long way from the natural beauty of Sydney Harbour.
Oh, and do watch your head, Stevie, as we go under the cantilever bridge. What with all those local bloated pigeons, you're sure to be shat on from a great height, much like Commodore Fitzpatrick.
I was getting hammered left, right and centre.
Yes,
social media.
You did.
Letters.
Yes.
Emails. Full lot.
Yeah, if you could just stop talking now. We're trying to keep this episode down to half an hour, thank you.
Don't worry, Rolfo. I've avoided the Warrington board defecating on me for years. Why? I even got another contract out of them steering the ship, Rolfo.
Yes, thanks to a Wembley Hicks bosun big screen spineless particle.
Hey up, lads. Periscope spotted in the water. 200 yards ahead. Morse code signal coming in. Oh, bloody hell. It's HMS Substitute. It's made up of all the players Stevie's kept on the bench. Apparently, it shattered their dreams and they've loaded a torpedo laden with resilience and resentment.
Oh, tackle sacks. If only you'd learned to count past 16, Stevie. We'd be plain sailing into Barton's swing aqueduct. The only swing on this journey now is going to be a hard-nosed sharp right at the aqueduct.
Torpedo launch, lads! 90 seconds till impact!
What on earth are you doing, Stevie?
I'm inflating my Cronulla life jacket, Rolfie, and jumping in.
Don't be ridiculous. If you dive in there, you'll need your stomach pumped.
Oh, no worry, Rolfie. I've eaten enough of Benny Westwood's sausage baguettes for my belly to have reached herd immunity.
Just yank the cord, Stevie. It inflates automatically.
I would do, Rolfie, but it's been tugged more times than Marcus Inglis has pulled his hamstring.
Yes, and now there's a recruit that came on board and ended up being very much below deck.
Oh, I reckon, Rolfo, I've known sea-bottom-dwelling crustaceans to have more of a ripple effect.
Well, it's best you say so long to the players' crew before you take the plunge.
Oh, thanks, fellas. I'm sure you'll make it one day. I'd say chin up, but, you know, looking at mine and all that.
Oh, Stevie, I really will miss you. I think you're right. I think it's fair to say you were never really the right man to steer us to Super League treasure.
Oh, I've done a Challenge Cup success, though, Rolfie.
Yes, although it's hardly seen as the gold chalice now, is it? It's more like a 9-carat plated trinket from Ratner's.
Even gonna paint me naked like one of your Milwaukee transvestites.
Oh no, I didn't steal it. I'll have to wait. Probably best we jump together into this metaphorical drink, or clusterfuck, known as the RFL's No Man's Land. Besides, who'd notice another madman around here? Goodbye, Stevie. But before we jump, I will say this. You've been wonderful in the Warrington community, and you've tried your hardest. And you know what? Perhaps being a good bloke and full of resilience means more to the people of Warrington than any old treasure.
Yeah, I done a good job, didn't I, Rolfie?
Goodbye, Mr. Stephen Price. It was a pleasure. I'll just hang on here a second.
Good boy, Rolfred Rimmer.
Oh, and watch out for those sharks. They can be a right bunch of nasty.
Well, this has taken me on a journey of emotions this week. Before listening to it, I had trepidation. I mean, was it going to be another assault on my ears? But within moments, I was feeling a lot calmer. The nursery rhyme take me back to more simple times in my life. I did like that. Building the tension up with a submarine, I did wonder, were we going to merge into Das Boot? But then the skillful insertion of the Blackadder line and allowing Stevie to go himself with dignity in his Cronulla life jacket in a scene that evoked pathos. A triumph of an episode, a triumph, one only eclipsed by Who Shot Ralph in season 2.
Are you only saying this because that was the last one, Sam?
Thank fuck for that, yes.
Well, actually, Sam, it's not the last. Well, it is the last one, but we actually wrote another one because we thought we were going to beat Hull KR.
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
So we wrote a Strictly episode, so I'll send you that later today. And you'll be pleased to know, in 2 weeks' time, there is a box set of Mutiny on the HJ available on iTunes, Spotify, etc., etc., with a running time of 1 hour, 48 minutes.
Oh.
It's time now for Fails or the Unexpected.
A wise man believes only in lies, trusts only in the absurd, and learns to expect the unexpected.
I personally think this story is funny, but if your sense of humor doesn't happen to be the same as mine, then I'm afraid you're going to be a bit disturbed by what goes on.
This week, Failing to be Unexpected is the title here. And the topic, of course, Warrington Wolves. Yes, none of us can believe it. Although on the podcast, we did predict it at the beginning of the year. 2021 is the biggest fail to date. Take a listen to the pundits on Sky and the Rugby League journalists. We are becoming the laughingstock of Rugby League. The big spenders, the big names. Yet now we're being referred to as having all the gear, but no idea. Well, where did it all go wrong? Where did we have all the gear? I mean, did we really have all the gear? Did we have all the best players, do you think? The right players? This is interactive, by
what?
The way.
What was that? Oh, sorry.
Fucking hell.
No, we didn't. We did not have the right players.
Well, it's time to address the elephant in the room, which is that fucking green kit. Of course. No, it's not. It's not. It's not the shitty kit. That's not the reason of the failure this year. That's just my opinion. And everyone's got an opinion. So in order to make this scientific approach, we're going to need the use of the Watt Bevan supercomputer called the Logic Analytical Binary Information Arbitrator. So let's have... So let's hope there's no flapping around with these results. Now, today, I'd like to finish off Fails and the Unexpected with the analysis of the 2021 season with the supercomputer. I'll just call her Flappy. It will be decided, of course, by the computer, what was really the failure and why we failed to become expected in the playoffs. Is basically what we, you know, what the demise was and what that is down to. We need the computer to do that. So I just need some data variables from you chaps and just get the computer on so we can fill her up. So the first parameter I'd like to do is who has underperformed within the players group this year? And I'd like an answer off you both, one each, if you don't mind. So Sam, give me a, who's underperformed in the players group?
Blake Austin.
Okay, I'll just type that in. Rob?
Jack Hughes.
Oh, okay. Interesting. I'll put those in. Second variable, can you identify the turning point of the season? Where did you think it all went wrong? New one, Rob.
Round one.
Oh, okay. That might just skew the figures a bit. Sam?
Kickoff. On Friday night.
Oh, ah, excellent. Perfect balance there. That's a good dive. And point three, who do you all hold accountable out of the whole of Warrington Wolves? Who would you say, Sam? Proving a tough question here. Sam being picking very carefully from his bunk.
Has it got to be one name only?
Yes, that would be good if you could, yes. All the way from your bunker down under Thirlwall. Here it comes.
Simon, because he's ultimately the boss.
Ooh, couldn't say his second name, but I'll take it as Simon Moran. Thank you very much for that. Mr. London, over there, 20,000 miles away in Australia.
Lee Braze.
Ooh! Oh, God! I don't even want to type this in. Number four, green kit, good or bad? Oh, sorry, I'll just take that one out. Thank you. Number five, how would you describe the season in 2021 in a few words? Sam, try and keep it down to just a few words, if you don't mind, not a three-minute monologue.
Mediocre.
Oh, a horrible word. Rob?
Limp.
Oh, God. And bit of positivity. What would you say, a wild card of what hope do we hold for next year? Where do you see the hope in the Warrington Wolves?
Longstaff.
Oh, very nice. Excellent. Rob?
Lee Braze.
That's just going to cause a bit of a fucking mind fuck, isn't it? Right, I'm going to put that in. Into this thing. Here we go. Yeah, here we go. So I've got all that in. Just rewind that bit. Put that in there. Oh, here we go. It's going to start reading out. Who's responsible?
Carl.
Oh, Carl. I think that's Carl. Carl. Is it Carl?
Fitzy.
Oh.
Fitzy.
Oh, dear.
You really know how to fuck it.
Oh, dear. Carl. Let me just a minute.
You really know how to fuck it.
Oh, God. Fitzy. I think it's a... Carl Fitzy, Fitzpatrick.
You really know how to fuck it.
Oh, that's disgusting. Carl. Oh, just a minute. Oh, Christ, I think it's overheating.
All programmes have now been suspended on all channels to allow the broadcast of this film held in reserve for times of crisis.
Britain is a nation built on the very scowling face of adversity.
Fuck, it's the last episode. Unbowed by any crisis. This is Britain at its best.
Oh, Jesus.
I can't recover it.
I vow to thee my country, my mum's school hymn.
Can we just point out, in case there is any legal notification after that, that that was entirely Dennis's work? Dennis's section.
Come on, give us another speech, Sam.
Dennis is recording it from his own phone. Nothing to do with me.
No, I'm afraid that's just the computer. I can't control.
In association with Lee Breers. Okay, that's it. We'll be back here next year, possibly. It all depends on whether Sam can be asked. A huge thank you to everyone that joined the podcast this year. The fabulous Jake from the disability side, Matt Turner from the Warrington Guardian, Dave Birch from Warrington Hospital Radio.
Well, we've not done the prediction bit.
Oh, haven't we? Oh, right. Sorry. Do we want to do a prediction? I can't be fucking
I thought you deliberately missed that out.
Who gives a fuck about rugby league anymore?
Come on. Let's finish it off. Let's put the effort in. It's the final fucking one. Jesus.
Play the prediction jingle, Sam.
Predictions.
We can predict the future or resist the inevitable urge to try.
Good afternoon to you. Earlier on today, apparently, a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't.
Warrington, but can I do it with a caveat, please?
Okay, two predictions needed. I'll start with who's going to win Super League 2021 and your prediction, please, on Warrington in 2022 under their new coach, Daryl Powell. Sam.
St. Helens are going to win.
St. Helens are going to win.
And next year, we will finish once again fourth. We might have a better shot at the Challenge Cup.
I think...
Fucking thanks for that.
I think I agree with Sam. St. Helens, I don't think any of us are going to look away from that. But next year, I think it's going to be one step forward, two steps back. He's coming into a new club. He's got players who are going to be a right mishmash. I think we'll be we might finish in the playoffs next year. His signings again. I heard Joe Bullock's another signing, possibly, and he's injured, is he? So that's another one. So that's going to be a right fuck up. So I just want to know what Daryl Powell's catchword's going to be next year. What do you think his catchword would be? Catchphrase, sorry.
I don't know, I have to work on that one. Not paid any attention. He sounds like a drunk Yorkshireman, doesn't he?
That's the basis, Sam, of our sketch next year. Come on, Rob, what about you?
I'm going for Hull KR. I think Hull KR will take it out this year. And then we're going to buy two big props, a loose forward, and we're going to do the double next year. So there you go.
Deluded.
Okay, that's it. We'll be back here next year, possibly. It all depends on whether Sam can be asked. A huge thank you to everyone that joined the podcast this year. The fabulous Jake from the disability side, Matt Turner from the Warrington Guardian, Dave Birch from Warrington Hospital Radio, Mike Brown down there in Brighton, Dom, who we had on last week, and the wonderful Daniel for all his soundbites. I also would like to thank our partners Vicky, Jill and Alyssa for putting up with all this that keeps away from all those family life and causes podcasting disruptions. And not forgetting Dennis and Sam, who are both a massive pair of cunts. So until we meet again, it's a caveating cheerio from Sam.
All the best, everyone.
A failed and unexpected so long from Dennis.
We'll see you.
And a see you next year from me. Take care, everyone. You've been listening to... Go on, Sam, you do it for once with that nice speech.
What would Brian Bevan say?
Jesus, he's no fucking presenter, is he?
10 takes later.
Christ.
By the way, we haven't done Daniel's bit. I mean, I was going to liken him to Pam Ayres.
We're doing it at the start. When we had that conversation for 10 minutes about that, Dennis, do you remember?
No. I thought, have we talked about Daniel?
I tell you what, I need a real rest from this. I can't do this anymore. Nurse!
Show must go on.